You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We are back, another episode Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Pepsi, made for football watching. And we're back here. It is Thursday, although there's no crossover Thursday here because the Ravens, this is their bye week. So they stand 5-1. Currently, you know, you can't ask for much more, but there is no crossover Thursday. So I guess we'll just do a crossover with myself today. The Kevin Ostreicher crossover for Locked On Ravens. And, you know, we're lucky because we got a little bit of news, a little bit of speculation yesterday that I do want to touch on. And look, everybody listening has heard this one before. Antonio Brown is rumored to potentially be an option for the Baltimore Ravens once his suspension is lifted after week 8. And so, you know, the rumors are back. We haven't talked about Antonio Brown in a long time. It's a bye week, no game to prep for. So, you know what? Why not buy into it a little bit and just discuss what Antonio Brown will bring to this team if he does sign with Baltimore, how realistic the possibility is of Antonio Brown coming to Baltimore, and ultimately, do the Ravens need Antonio Brown on their roster? But then for the rest of the episode, so we'll do Antonio Brown in the first segment. For the rest of the episode, I just kind of want to talk about stats for the Ravens. Not team stats, but individual stats, both on the offense and on the defense. We're at a time right now during the bye week where we can just kind of talk about these players and not really have to say, oh, this is what he'll do this week, this is what he has to do this week. We can take a step back and we can look at them through 6 weeks and we can say, well, there are stats in these categories, so what do they need to improve upon? Where have they impressed? What needs to change? So for the offense, we'll talk about them in the second segment, and then of course, we're going to flip that field like we usually do and talk about the defense in the third segment. So with all that being said, we're going to jump right in here. But before we do that, you know the drill. Be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, subscribe to us. Be sure to hit the notification bell so you know when our episodes are out, but I'll tell you when they come out. It's Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Eastern Time. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter, at Locked On Ravens, and my personal account, at KOstreicher34. So you can follow along with my latest reactions, my latest analysis, and of course, the latest Locked On Ravens episodes. So with all that being said, let's jump right in here and talk about this Antonio Brown rumor. Now, the rumor that came out was Adam Schefter kind of stirred this pot a little bit, saying that the Seattle Seahawks were rumored to be interested at making a push to sign Antonio Brown once his suspension is lifted in week 8. But he said that the Seahawks might not be alone in their pursuit of Brown. And a couple of Ravens, they had some fun with that one. Marlon Humphrey replied to the tweet and said, "All I see is not alone," with some eye emojis. And LJ Fort, the Ravens linebacker, said that he can't wait to see the best back in business. And Antonio Brown, I actually liked that tweet from LJ Fort. So a bunch of speculation just pops up about Antonio Brown to the Ravens. Obviously, the fit makes sense. Baltimore needs a playmaker. Antonio Brown is just that. I mean, over his career, you want to know what you're getting with Antonio Brown: over 800 receptions, over 11,000 yards, and 75 touchdowns over his career, 131 total games played. Of course, 130 of those coming with the Pittsburgh Steelers in 9 years, and then that little one game stint he had in New England in 2019. So what does this all mean? Well, Michael Silver, I believe, said that another team to watch is the Ravens because they did their due diligence on Brown this offseason. Now, a little bit in regards to that, I don't really see the due diligence part of that tweet a reason to watch the Ravens in this. You know, they did their homework. It was rumored that the Ravens, you know, looked around Antonio Brown's camp. They entertained the idea of bringing him in. but I don't think that anything materialized. Now, obviously, we saw the pictures and the videos of Lamar Jackson, Marquise Brown, who is Antonio Brown's cousin, and Antonio Brown himself working out down in Florida. The videos look good. They look good, and I cannot, deny the fact that Antonio Brown would look good in that purple and black. But the reason Antonio Brown is not signed right now is because of the litany of off-the-field issues and locker room problems that he has caused over what seems like the course of forever, but it's really only been over the course of the past 3 years now, 2-3 years. He was a stand-up player, hard worker, not to say he's not a hard worker anymore, but he was just kind of a pedal-to-the-metal guy, head-to-the-ground, focused guy, didn't really cause a lot of distractions. A lot of people in the Steelers organization liked him a lot, but then over the course of the last 2-3, you could even go back 4 years, we've seen him leak post-game speeches by coaches that was supposed to be confidential, feeding opponents there. We've seen him get into arguments with his quarterbacks. And of course, we know about all the actual off-the-field legal trouble issues, Antonio Brown beating up a truck driver, the sexual accusations that have come down upon him. All of that is really, really building up against his case. And in Baltimore's case, let's look at the on-the-field fit first. Obviously, he is somebody who can put on the outside, you can put him in the slot, and he will just do work. He's somebody who, over the course of his career, has averaged 13.4 yards per reception. He's averaged 13 yards per touch, and somebody who overall has been an asset wherever he's gone on the football field. He has amazing field awareness. He knows how to get open in spots and just find holes in the defense. We all know about his toe dragging ability, the yards after the catch ability. He is a superstar, but we also have to look at the fact that he has been out of the NFL for over a year now. Is he in football shape? Is he ready to come in and contribute? How will he look? His 31-year-old season in New England, we saw him for that one game, 4 receptions, 56 yards and a score. But now that he's going in and he's 32 and a half, is Antonio Brown the same player he was even last year with the Patriots? Even that remains to be seen. But looking at the off-the-field fit and what Baltimore has valued over the last, I don't even know how many years now, it feels like forever because their culture has just been so good. Baltimore, ever since the Ray Rice incident, has been absolutely hell-bent on keeping a great locker room culture, a great team culture, and for good reason. I 100% agree with their reasoning for doing so. If Antonio Brown comes in, you can scrap all of that. Teams would scrap all of that. The Ravens would no longer be looked at as this, the golden child of the NFL, the team that always has this good locker room culture and always brings in the right people because they are the right people in all senses of that phrase. The right people on the field and the right people off the field. The Ravens, I don't think, looked at Kareem Hunt, for example, because of his past. The Ravens cut Ray Rice because of his past. We've seen the Ravens cut people, from stars like Ray Rice to just role players, for example, Alex Collins, Bernard Pierce, for getting into trouble off the football field. And Antonio Brown, we've seen the damage he can cause to an NFL organization. Would Baltimore take that chance? My answer is probably no, especially after what we saw and how the Ravens handled the Earl Thomas situation. Earl Thomas is a Pro Bowl player, and I still think he is a borderline Pro Bowl player. His loss has been felt, but I think Deshaun Elliott has pretty much nullified the loss. There's still some parts of Earl Thomas's game the Ravens do miss, I have to agree, but Elliott, on a little side note, has been phenomenal in filling in for him. But the reason the Ravens cut Earl Thomas wasn't because they felt like Deshaun Elliott was ready. It was because the players on this team absolutely despised Thomas. He was a locker room cancer. To put it very bluntly, he was a locker room cancer, the very definition of the word. He was late to meetings, wouldn't show up, was not understanding, was taking time off, not bought into the culture. The Ravens figured that the chemistry, the culture of the team, was bigger than one player, was bigger than a Pro Bowl player. So they let Earl Thomas go. And what do you see? Earl Thomas, through 6 weeks, is not signed to an NFL roster. The only way I can see Antonio Brown getting onto this Ravens roster is if, one, he shows Baltimore and has been showing Baltimore that his past legal troubles, his past off-the-field antics are behind him. And two, if a bunch of the Ravens players get together and agree and go to leadership and say Antonio Brown is a good football player and he will be good for us on and off the field. We have no concerns. We want him here. We want to play with him. If the players send that strong message to ownership, I could potentially see them maybe bending their policy a little bit, but only if Antonio Brown shows that he is willing to come into Baltimore knowing that he is not going to get 10, 12 targets a game, knowing that he could be shut out in yards, in receiving touchdowns and catches for certain weeks. It is not about him. It is about the team. If he can come in there and show Baltimore that, then I can potentially see Baltimore bending their policy. But at the end of the day, I still do believe that Antonio Brown's legal troubles and off-the-field antics do outweigh his ability to provide Baltimore with playmaking as a receiver and to provide Baltimore with an option to just another weapon, who's another weapon in the passing offense. Baltimore needs those right now. Antonio Brown would certainly be a great fit on the football field, but I think Baltimore, again, they value that chemistry. And right now, I don't see him as an option for Baltimore. We're going to head into our first break here, but when we get back, we're going to be talking about the Ravens offense through 6 weeks and taking a look at some of their stats. So stay tuned for that, and we will be right back. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need into a traditional chain storefront. Wires are often pointless or seemingly intimidating, questioning, and wait while the counterman orders the parts in his computer, choosing only the brand his warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, locked on in their How'd You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. We are back. Second segment, Locked On Ravens. Thursday. Kevin Ostreicher is still hanging out with you here. No crossover Thursday. The Ravens are on their bye, but they are sitting at 5-1. And now we will begin our analysis of this Baltimore team through 6 weeks as they head into their bye and are currently pretty well into it right now. But Baltimore, I think, first of all, before we start looking at the stats here, they got a blessing in disguise. We kind of talked about this with Spencer a little bit. The Ravens' bye was moved from week 8 to week 7 because of the whole Titans coronavirus situation, where they had their bye in week 4 and ultimately the Steelers had their bye in week 4 too, because the Steelers-Titans game was originally scheduled for week 4. So what happened was that Steelers-Titans game was moved to this week, week 7, where originally the Ravens were supposed to be playing the Steelers. But instead, the NFL moved that game, the Steelers at Ravens game, to week 8, and move Baltimore's bye up 1 week to week 7. Now, I say this is a blessing in disguise for multiple reasons. The first being, this team has some things that they need to figure out. I mean, Baltimore is 5-1. You can't complain about the record, but there are a few things that aren't right now, and ultimately, I think are holding Baltimore back from becoming that true Super Bowl favorite, Super Bowl contender. There are a few things. So one of those things I do think is the play calling. I don't think Greg Roman's play calling has been up to par with what we saw from him last season. Now, part of it, I do think, is because the Ravens did lose some playmakers on the offensive side of the ball, so it is a little bit harder to get positive plays, pick up first downs, score points. Marshall Yanda being the biggest one. I knew the Ravens were going to miss Marshall Yanda, but I did not expect it to be this bad, and honestly, I probably should have. I probably underestimated it a little bit, and you know, I don't know how you can underestimate a Hall of Fame guard leaving and a rookie coming in, but apparently I did it. So what ended up happening is, with Marshall Yanda, we kind of heard Orlando Brown Jr. talk about it in one of his offseason press conferences via Zoom. He knew Marshall Yanda next to him, he had his guy. His guy was locked down, and he could focus on his guy. Where with Tyree Phillips now, you have a rookie who has not performed great. He's performed solidly, but I wouldn't call him a Hall of Fame guard. So Orlando Brown Jr., I think, has suffered because of that. And I guess we'll get into the offensive line right now. It has been a massive drop-off. You know, Lamar Jackson has faced pressure for a lot of this season. It hasn't been horrible, but it hasn't been great. The left side of the offensive line is significantly better than the right side of the offensive line. And I'll even throw Matt Skurrer in the right side of the offensive side. And I'll even throw Matt Skura into the right side of the offensive line. I mean, Ronnie Stanley, he's been all right. You know, we saw those penalties from him against the Eagles last Sunday. It's been an up and down year for him, particularly because of injuries. I think the bye is great for him. Bradley Bozeman has turned into a great guard, someone who has really impressed me, and someone who I think is going to be a mainstay on that line for years to come. But it's hard to talk about the good because there's so little you can say. It's, yeah, they're doing this well, they're doing that well. But it's easier to talk about the bad because, you know, it's been bad for the right side of the offensive line. Orlando Brown Jr. has regressed this season, looked a little out of shape coming into what was camp, you know, a shortened version of it, but has not translated his play from this year into what we saw from him last year. Maybe it's a bit because Merle Shigana isn't in there next to him, and he's had to take on the role of mentoring a rookie where it used to be Marshall Yanda mentoring him. But honestly, you know, Cole's mentioned his foot speeds look slow and this and that and the other, and I agree with him. And then you have the turnstile at right guard, which is Tyree Phillips and Patrick McCurry and Ben Powers. The Ravens need consistency on their line. They need it from somewhere. And, you know, they want to have a five they can roll out every week like they did last season and say, look, just go do your job. It's hard to play next to new people every single week. And honestly, Baltimore, I'm sure, is maybe looking at a guy like Quentin Spain from the Bills to come in there and maybe shore up that right guard position for the Ravens. And that's a signing I'd honestly welcome for Baltimore. A veteran is not horrible and honestly will be better than what Baltimore has on their roster right now. I don't know who gets cut because of it, but I think it would be a worthwhile investment because Lamar Jackson and the running game have been facing too much pressure in the backfield this season. But let's talk about Lamar Jackson in his stats this year. 1,135 yards passing, 102 completions out of 162 attempts, a 63% completion percentage. He's averaging about 7 yards per completion, 246 passing yards per game, 10 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. And on the ground, you can't ignore those numbers either. 50 carries for 346 yards. That's a 6.9 yards per carry average and 2 scores on the ground. Now, what we've seen from Lamar Jackson through 6 weeks this year has been much more of a regular standard quarterback as opposed to a dual threat quarterback. And what I mean by that is Lamar Jackson is both a threat with his arm and with his legs. He can throw the football. I think when he's really locked in, better than most people in the NFL, and honestly, he's one of the best runners in the entire league. But what you have here is a quarterback who I think really, really, really wants to be a quarterback. And honestly, duh, he should be. But I think this Baltimore offense is better when Lamar Jackson at least sells the fact that he is both a runner and a passer. That is what I think really elevates this offense to the next level. I think Lamar Jackson and Greg Roman want to prove to the league that they can throw this football and they can put up massive amounts of points and win football games. And that's fine because I believe they can. But you have to set that up like we saw them set it up last season with Lamar Jackson's legs, with Mark Ingram's legs, Gus Edwards' legs, J.K. Dobbins' legs. Heck, even throw Justice Hill's legs in there if you want to. The Ravens have at points abandoned their run game. The play calls don't look as fancy anymore. You see a lot of Lamar Jackson rollouts, not on RPOs, but, you know, we've kind of seen the RPOs go down. At least in my opinion, they've lost their effectiveness because they're not doing them as much. What I loved about the RPOs was that it's literally a run-pass option. So Baltimore doesn't have to run it with a running back or with Lamar Jackson every play there. You can put three different plays in the same exact look. In Baltimore, I don't think has been doing that. We don't see Lamar Jackson pull that football back and just rocket it to Marquise Brown. First week of the season 2019 against the Miami Dolphins, I want to bring up a play. First game for Marquise Brown and first game as a starter for an opening game for Lamar Jackson. There was an RPO and Lamar Jackson pulled that sucker out of Mark Ingram and literally just bulleted that ball to Marquise Brown on a slant. Marquise Brown went the distance, part of his huge, huge debut performance in the NFL. I mean, Lamar Jackson, if we see more of that from him and the play calling from Greg Roman, I think this offense is going to be in great, great shape. On the ground, the running game has not looked ideal so far for Baltimore, not at least from what we saw last year. Mark Ingram, 50 carries for 225 yards and 2 scores. Gus Edwards, 48 carries for 218 yards and a score. And J.K. Dobbins, 25 carries for 154 yards and 2 scores. Now, Baltimore, I do think, yes, they have abandoned their run game to an extent, but what you have here is an offense that is still running the ball at a decently high clip and decently effective. Baltimore's offense in 2019 rushing the football was absolutely historic. It was absolutely historic, and you know, you can't tell me otherwise because they put up, you know, 200 passing yards, 200 rushing yards a game, and this and that and the other. Mark Ingram dominated, Gus Edwards dominated. But we can't expect that greatness every single season, not because the Ravens aren't good, but literally because it just is not possible. So Baltimore, I think, has done well on the ground, although I'd like to see more. The run blocking has not been great this season for the Ravens, and I would hope that would improve, because that is really, you know, the number one ticket to improving the rushing offense, is opening up those lanes, and that in turn will open up the passing game for the Ravens. And finally, looking at the receiving stats, Marquise Brown leads this team with both 26 receptions and 376 yards, but only has one score through the air. Mark Andrews leads this team in receiving touchdowns with five. He has 20 receptions for 243 yards in those five scores. But then you want to talk about a drop-off. Oh, do I have something for you. Willie Snead, 11 receptions for 149 yards and a score. Miles Boykin, 11 receptions for 122 yards and no scores. Devin Duvernay, 10 receptions for 90 yards and no scores. J.K. Dobbins, 11 receptions for 74 yards and no score. Nick Boyle, actually really impressive on his 9 receptions for 63 yards and 2 scores. Mark Ingram, 3 for 25 and no scores. And Patrick Ricard, 3 for 17 and 1 score. You look at Marquise Brown, you look at Mark Andrews, that is the Ravens' passing offense. There is no other person who has come close to replicating the success that they have had in the 2020 season. We all expected Miles Boykin to take a second-year leap, and he has done quite the opposite. In fact, he might have even regressed from where we saw him last season. It has been a massive disappointment to watch Miles Boykin on the field this year. He'll hook up with Lamar Jackson for a reception or two a game, but it is nowhere near something where it's, you know, Miles Boykin the threat. Miles Boykin, the third option in the passing game. Right now, there is literally no third option in the passing game, and if I had to dub a third option in the passing game, it would be Nick Boyle. It would literally be Nick Boyle. So Baltimore, I think, needs to go out there and get another weapon. We talked about Antonio Brown in the first segment. I do think Baltimore looks at receivers at the trade deadline. Houston's receivers are available, I do believe, and you also have guys like maybe Jamison Crowder. We've heard Marvin Jones. You know, expensive guys like Julio Jones or AJ Green probably aren't going to happen. In fact, they most likely will not. But I think Baltimore has to look at somebody in either the wide receiver or tight end department. Because what happens if Marquise Brown or Mark Andrews goes down, or in the worst case scenario, both of them? That's over 600 yards out of your 1,159 that you're losing there. So Baltimore, I think, has to act and add another weapon to this passing game to take it to the next level. And if they can do that again, that'll open up their rushing offense, and it'll just all go hand in hand with each other. So an overall okay start for Baltimore for this 2020 season on the offensive side of the ball. They've been impressive in some instances, but they can also go cold, so there is some stuff to improve on. We're going to head into our final break here, but when we get back, we're going to be talking about the defense and some stats on their side of the field, so stay tuned for that, and we will be right back. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Pepsi, made for football watching. We are back with our final segment of this Locked On Ravens Thursday edition episode, not crossover edition episode, however. Kevin Oshuk, your host, still hanging out with you here. And we just talked about the offensive side of the ball through 6 weeks of the 2020 season. But now let's flip that field and talk about the defense. And this defense, honestly, for me, has impressed. They really have impressed. The run defense has been phenomenal, in my opinion. The pass defense, there are some kinks to work out, but still, for the most part, I am very pleased with how the pass defense has looked, all things considered. Now, getting into a little bit of what I think about the defense, general thoughts before getting into the stat side of things. Again, this run defense, you're not running on Baltimore in 2020. When Baltimore is at full strength and healthy on the front four, we'll start there. Calais Campbell, Derek Wolfe, Brandon Williams, already there you have a problem. Brandon Williams and Calais Campbell and even Derek Wolfe, three of the best run-stuffing tackles and defensive ends in the league. And Baltimore loves the versatility on the line. You can line Derek Wolfe up at the defensive tackle position, defensive end. You can line Calais Campbell up, defensive tackle, defensive end, even on the outside. That's my biggest takeaway from what we've seen so far from this Baltimore defense. It's the versatility of each and every single player on this Baltimore team. For example, we've seen LJ Fort, who is an inside linebacker, play snaps at outside linebacker. When you look at this team, Baltimore has so many different people who can do so many different things. We've seen Deshaun Elliott and Chuck Clark come up, play that dime linebacker position. We've seen Marlon Humphrey with the injury to Tavon Young play both outside and slot cornerback. We've seen guys like Pernell McPhee, like Jalen Ferguson, move both outside and inside on the defense, playing both outside linebacker and some defensive end as well. Baltimore is versatile, and with that, they can do a lot. They're outside linebackers. We see them drop into coverage. We've seen guys like Calais Campbell drop into coverage. Don Martindale's scheme is truly unique and truly, honestly, wonderful. And I love that we see so many versatile pieces making so many different plays in so many different places. And for Baltimore, getting into some of the stat side of things now, you have Patrick Queen, the linebacker who was selected in the first round of the 2020 draft. And for me, Patrick Queen has been one of the defensive MVPs. Now, I say one of because we've seen a lot of guys play extremely well for this Baltimore Ravens defense. Totals 44 tackles through the first 6 weeks, 2 sacks, 5 tackles for loss, 2 forced fumbles, 2 fumble recoveries, and a defensive touchdown. Patrick Queen does it all. Yes, he's a little undersized. Yes, he does have some rookie mistakes. But honestly, being undersized doesn't matter when you have talent and when you can play the game of football. That does not matter. Chuck Clark, second on the team in tackles with 40. He has 1.5 sacks, 1.5 tackles for loss, 2 forced fumbles, 1 fumble recovery. I mean, Chuck Clark really is a do-it-all guy. He is, I think, the heartbeat of this defense. You know, you have guys like Marlon Humphrey, Matthew Judon, Calais Campbell, Brandon Williams, but I truly think Chuck Clark is the heartbeat of the defense. He is the signal caller. He is somebody who can go up, and I mentioned, play dime linebacker. But, I mean, a guy who I think has to be the Ravens' defensive MVP is third in the team in tackles, and that is Marlon Humphrey. 2.5 sacks, 2.5 tackles for loss, 6 pass defense. He has an interception in those 4 forced fumbles. I mean, what a story Marlon Humphrey has been, taking on the peanut punch and kind of reshaping it into the fruit punch, right? Marlon Humphrey has been phenomenal. He is still one of the best corners in the NFL, but when a receiver catches a ball in front of him, honestly, someone made the point on Twitter, it's honestly better just to drop the football because there is a chance that he's just going to punch that thing out, create a turnover for this defense. Baltimore's defense has been a turnover machine thanks to the likes of Marcus Peters and Calais Campbell and Deshaun Elliott, guys who are really making an impact. Other guys who have impressed me, Calais Campbell with his 4 sacks on the year, also 6 tackles for loss. He's batted down 5 passes. I mean, he's somebody who the Ravens really, really, really love. And I'm so glad they went out and acquired him because he has been somebody who has made an impact so far. Deshaun Elliott replacing Earl Thomas has been a godsend. Somebody who has 25 tackles on the year, 2 sacks. 3 pass defense, 2 forced fumbles. I mean, this guy is a force, and yes, he's not perfect. He's probably not playing up to the level Earl Thomas will be playing at right now overall. But there are things in Deshaun Elliott's game that were no longer in Earl Thomas's game, like his hustle, like his hit power, like his agility. There are so many things that Deshaun Elliott brings that Earl Thomas didn't. And at the same time, you could say the same thing for Earl Thomas. But I think Elliott can really grow into a starting free safety on this team for a long, long time. And then you have the guys who are great pieces. Marcus Peters has 2 interceptions on the year, 4 passes defense. He's doing his thing as a lockdown corner. Brandon Williams and Derek Wolfer, as I mentioned, great, great run stuffers. You have guys contributing like Tyus Bowser, who has 2 sacks on the year. Jimmy Smith, who's been a rotational guy, who's played both safety and corner. Jalen Ferguson has started to come into his own. Anthony Averett, unfortunately, went on injured reserve this past week, or is going to go on injured reserve, but he is somebody who has played really well in his opportunities. Matthew Judon, the pressure king, has only 2 sacks on the year. Both came in 1 game, but I still think he is a good piece on this defense. And then LJ Fort, somebody who was signed off the street last season, re-signed by Baltimore. And good thing they did, because LJ Fort has been phenomenal as both a leader to the young guys like Patrick Queen and Malik Harrison, and also as a player on the football field. So I'm probably forgetting a few, but this defense has been phenomenal, and I think that the looks that they're giving defenses are truly confusing, and they really have to be prepared for very thoroughly throughout the week. by opponents, because this defense truly is something else to prepare for, and I know I wouldn't want to be prepping for it on a week-to-week basis, especially if you're a division rival, if you're the Browns, if you're the Steelers, if you're the Bengals. You have to go up against that defense twice a year. Oh man, good luck to you. But Baltimore's defense has been impressive so far this season. There are some things they can clean up, but for the most part, I have been very impressed. That's all I have for you today. When we get back here tomorrow, we're going to be rounding out these bye week episodes with more Ravens talk. So stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.